I've opened up my Bible this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'd like to encourage you, if you would, to please be doing the same. Romans chapter 6 will serve as the basis for our study today. As you turn there, I'd like to take just a moment, if I may, and join in the welcome that's been extended by Tim. We're very glad to have everyone here today, in particular our guests. We're delighted to have you, and hope you'll come be with us anytime you can. There are several that I see have been here with us from time to time, and we're very pleased to have you visit with us. There are those who are here for the very first time today. Whatever has brought you here, we want you to know how much we appreciate your presence, and it means a lot to us. Please give us a moment after our services have ended today to get to know you just a little bit. I know we always take for granted the blessings that we have week after week after week, year after year. But isn't it wonderful to be able to come together, worship God like we have today on a beautiful, bright, sunshiny Sunday morning? We have great blessings in Christ that we should not take for granted either. We had, as part of our scripture reading prior to the Lord's Supper today, the statement made that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It is in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And so Paul would say in the previous chapter in Romans 5, verse 9, we have been justified by His blood. In the next chapter, in chapter 7 and verse 14, he says that even though we are of the flesh, we have been sold into bondage to sin. Well, the remedy is given to us here in Romans chapter 6. Christ Jesus, through His blood, which we access through baptism, we can have all of our sins washed away. And I love being able to talk to somebody, sit down one-on-one and show them from Romans 6 how you have the death of Jesus, then His burial and subsequent resurrection from the dead described, and we are called upon to do that as well, spiritually. And so we are dead to sin, buried in a watery grave of baptism, and then and only then do we rise to walk in newness of life. That's what's described for us in these verses. And I'll sit down and talk to somebody who's contemplating obeying the gospel and walk through that with them. But here's the thing. Paul is writing to people who have already done that. When he pens Romans 6, he's writing to Christians, those who have already clothed themselves with Christ in baptism. And so why is it that he's doing that? What is it that he's reminding them about? I think he's asking them to very seriously remember, contemplate what it is that they were baptized for. Why they went through this process. What happened when you were baptized? Did you die? Because that is the focus of these verses. Paul is saying, listen, do you understand what you did? As a Christian, as somebody who has already clothed himself or herself in Jesus Christ in baptism, did you die to several important concepts? Consider with me, first of all, this morning, Paul is asking us, did you die to sin? Look at the first two verses of Romans chapter 6. Paul asks, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? When you become a Christian, yes, your sins are washed away, but then you are dead to sin and you're not supposed to keep on sinning. You think about the guy who robs a bank. Can he keep the proceeds if he repents and promises not to do it again? Well, of course not. Part of that repentance is he's going to not want to rob banks anymore. And so we as Christians, we need to not look back on our previous life of sin and longingly remembering all the fun we had. Rather, we say, how foolish, how much time I wasted bothering with all of that. We have been freed from sin. Drop down with me to verse 10 of Romans 6. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Talking about Jesus. But the life that he lives to God. So Christ died once to sin. He died to sin. Have you died to sin? Verse 11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we have our sins forgiven, we go into that watery grave. Do you remember when you experienced it? Do you remember seeing others here in this very building who have come up out? They're excited. They are so happy. It's very much like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, verse 39, who went on his way rejoicing. Why not? Because now you're freed from sin. This bondage that was eating away at your life, it was not just simply a psychological issue, it was a spiritual issue. But there is a lift that comes off of us, off of our shoulders, as it were. We're able to sleep better at night, knowing that all is well with our soul. Do you, though, know that sin is not to be a part of your life anymore? And that's the challenge for us, those of us who have already done this, to remember we died to sin because we can't continue to live in it any longer. Another question Paul asked, secondly this morning, he asked, did you die to death? Did you die to death? We don't like to think about death. We like to do everything in our power to hold it at bay. And yet, these last several months, our church family here at Eastside has suffered tremendously because of this ultimate enemy, death. The scripture reading that we had this morning was from Hebrews chapter 2. And so let's stray away from Romans and go over to Hebrews 2. And I want to look again at a couple of these verses. Verse 14, talking about Christ. Who partook of flesh and blood, he says. Why? Why did Christ partake of flesh and blood? That through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those. Here it is. He might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Now, this is something that could very well fit in the context of Romans 6, where Paul is talking about slavery. He says you're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. And slave to sin, slavery to sin is going to end in death. If you are enslaved to God, it will end in eternal life. But as we live our lives here on terra firma right now, God doesn't want us to live in fear of death. He wants us to have a sense of victory and accomplishment, knowing that even though we live in a sin-sick world that is marred by sin and death, victory is going to be ours one day. The auditorium class on Wednesday nights was studying 1 Corinthians a while back. And in 1 Corinthians 15, you have this great dissertation on the resurrection. Dr. Paul, he says in verses 55 and 56, he says, let me quote to you from the prophet Hosea in verse 55. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? A taunting cry to death itself. And Paul then says, the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have overcome death, spiritual death, and one day we will overcome physical death as we are resurrected from the dead. The resurrection from Jesus' resurrection from the dead is different from anybody else's resurrection. One, he raised himself from the dead. It's that same power that Jesus used to raise himself that he's going to use to raise you. If you believe Jesus was raised from the dead, you need to know that Jesus has the power over death. And two, he never died again. I think about Lazarus, his good friend, who died and was raised from the dead. But he died again, physically. We are going to be in the tomb one day if the Lord doesn't come back before then. But we don't have to fear death. We don't, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope when somebody closes their eyes in death and we see them in the casket. And we shed tears because we're sad. We're not going to see them anymore, at least not in this life. Because we can see the just, those who have been saved by the blood of Christ. We can see them again. Don't go around in your life as a Christian fearful of death. I remember when my wife's father was dying. several years ago. And her brothers, two of them are preachers, as a matter of fact. And one of them was talking to his father and said, "Dad, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And even though he was very much incapacitated by his health issues, he had a very stern look, Brian said, and told his son, "I'm not afraid." Can you say that? This is a man who lived his life as a very faithful Christian. He loved the Lord and served Him and served others. I want to have that kind of confidence when my days are growing long. I want to be able to not have the fear of death. And God wants you to have that. Don't be afraid to die. Because when you obeyed the gospel, you died to death. Thirdly, Paul says, you must die to the law. And so he's asking, did you die to the law? Drop down, if you would go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, look with me at verse number 14. Romans 6, 14. He says, sin shall not be master over you, not anymore. For you are not under law, but under grace. We're under the covenant of grace. Now that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for perfection. Just this past Sunday night, what we looked at, we based our lesson on the statement Jesus made, "You shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. We are to strive for moral, spiritual perfection. Peter tells us that we are to be holy, even as He is holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. We are to be pure, because he who wants to live right and go to heaven must purify himself, even as He is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. We are to be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Luke 6, verse 36. We are to love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. We are to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. We are to strive for perfection. The old law was not to make people perfect, though. Under the new law, we have the forgiveness of sins. That is one of the great stark contrasts. The old law was given to the nation of Israel to sustain their relationship with God. And Paul makes that argument here in the book of Romans, how we're justified by faith now, in contrast to the old law, and in other passages like Galatians 3, for example. But we have been... we're no longer subject to the old law, which was given to sustain our relationship with God. Because nobody can keep the law perfectly. Nobody. Nobody did. Under the new covenant, though, we are able to have the true forgiveness of our sins. But even then, we must strive toward perfection. That's what God expects of us. Because we are dead to the law. We're no longer under the law. We are under the law of grace. But under the new law, we have the true forgiveness of sins. Go back with me for a moment to Romans 3. I mentioned that just a moment ago. Romans 3, look with me at verse 19. We know that whatever the law says, the law of Moses says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. We cannot be justified by the law. It can only condemn. That's just its inherent nature. There's this great, magnificent passage in Romans chapter 8. And we're not trying to study the book of Romans. In fact, you'll be doing that in the auditorium very, very soon with Zeke Flores teaching on Wednesday nights. Romans chapter 8, you have this statement made. There is no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ. Verse 3, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. The law couldn't do this. What is it? God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. There's no condemnation in Christ. Why? Because Christ died for us. We died to the law. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under a law of grace. Jesus, our Lord, has blazed the trail for us. And that's why we can be saved by God's grace, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7, I mentioned that a moment ago. Here's 1 John 1 verse 9. Very familiar words, very comforting words. If we confess our sins, because under the new covenant, when we become Christians, we still sin. But there's a remedy for sin. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 verse 9, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These words are written to Christians, not non-Christians. Those of us who have already come in contact with the blood of Christ. A couple of verses later, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. Stop sinning. Don't do it. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the one who died for us. We're not under the law of works. We're under the law of grace because we died to the law. Fourth, this morning, going back to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we learn that we must die by the cross. We must die by the cross itself. Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. Let's read those together. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. I already talked about that concept. But in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so Jesus died by way of the cross. Are you willing to die by way of the cross as well? You remember the words of Jesus. He said in passages like Luke 9 verse 23 that we must take up our cross daily and follow after him. These days, the cross is an emblem of honor. In Jesus' day, though, it was an emblem of shame. It was the Romans' way of saying, you are human filth. There was a man, an orator, about 100 years before Jesus, named Cicero, and he was defending a man in a court of law. And this is what he said. He said that the very word of the cross must be banished from the voice of any Roman. It is not fit for us to discuss. And yet that's the way our Savior died, by means of the cross. Jesus makes a lot of demands on us, but these are the same demands that he himself already made, including dying by way of the cross. The Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus died outside the gate. I mentioned this in a Bible class recently. What Jesus did is he died outside of the confines of the city, where everything was good and pure and wholesome. At least it was supposed to be. He died outside in shame and ignominy. Just human filth. He was rejected. And sometimes what we have to do is die by way of the cross too. In our lives every day. Because we have to give up our old life, dying by the way of the cross, bearing our cross, taking up our cross every day. There's a lot we have to give up. And there is a shame that is associated with being a Christian. A resurrected Savior who died by way of a cross to us today, that sounds very, very fine and adequate. But in the first century world, that was just insane to die such a horrible, shameful death. But that's exactly what we are to do as well. When we imitate our Lord, when we are baptized into his death. You know, if Jesus suffered, do you think you're not going to suffer? This argument is made throughout the letters. If you expect to be glorified, even as Christ was glorified, you're going to have to suffer. And so you must take up your cross daily. Sometimes that means you're going to have to turn your backs on friends who want you to continue in sin. But you say, no, I can't have anything to do with that anymore. You're going to have to sever relationships with people who don't understand, who don't accept what you believe is what the Bible teaches. And you have to part ways with that. That's a sacrifice. We all have to ultimately make the commitment to the Lord. And that's what baptism is all about. Saying, I want to live, truly live. But before we do that, we must die to sin, to death, to the law. We must die by the cross. But finally, this morning, I want to ask this question. When you died to sin, did you die to live again? And so the gospel has this beautiful ray of hope. In Romans 6, I go back there. In Romans 6, it talks about Jesus dying on the cross, dying for the sins of mankind. In verse 8, Romans 6, verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Christ suffered and was glorified. We suffer in this life. We sacrifice. We bear our cross daily. And we will one day be glorified. Romans 6 verse 11. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the contrast is between dead to sin, alive to Christ. That contrast continues when he says that you are not to let sin reign in your mortal body. It's dead to you. Sin is dead to you. And so everything we do now is for the glory of God. Verse 13, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What you used to do was live for sin. You used to engage in unrighteousness, but now you are dedicated to being an instrument of righteousness to God. Do you remember the very famous verse in Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And he goes on to say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I don't live for myself. I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You died so that you might live, truly live. Jesus said, I came to give life, not just any life, abundant life. And so these are words spoken to Christians, reminding them of what they have already done. But as we close this morning, as we extend an invitation, I want to ask, is there a Christian here who has since gone back into sin and accepted sin in some way? Well, you need to die again to sin. And if we can help you with that, if there's some confession or need of prayer that you would like for us to offer on your behalf, we'll be happy to do that. It may be in the solitude of your own home. You'll do that today. In the solitude of your heart, right now. But if you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you haven't done what Paul says we must, then this invitation is for you. Are you ready to die to sin so that you can live again? Are you ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins? If so, please make your way to the front right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.